We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. You know, they start asking you, like, how many people are in the house and what's going on and, you know, what kind of people they are and do you work or... I'm a little suspect on that stuff, Dennis. How about you? I mean, are you pretty open to a census person coming to your door?
I am. I think that taking the census on a 10-year basis is a very good thing to be doing. It keeps track of where we are, who we are, what we're up to.
So you don't ever hesitate. You don't ever hesitate at all.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
You're fine.
I check yes on citizenship.
Yeah, you do. Okay. And what about when they say sex, like in your gender? Do you check yes or no? Because I know in school we used to always check yes, meaning yes, we had sex. Not so much what is our sex, you know? That was always one of those leading questions, wasn't it?
Buddy, I'm checking M.
Okay.
Don't try to make me not do it.
Jennifer, let me ask you this here. Do you ever get suspect with a census? Or have you even filled out a census? Because you're younger than Dennis is, right?
Yes, I am younger than Dennis. Yes, I have filled out census, but I don't like answering those long form questions. I'm very particular about what information I want anyone to have about me, especially the government.
That's what I'm asking, Jennifer. Are you a little suspect about that?
A little, yeah. But I mean, I understand that the census is something that we need to do, so I give them the bare minimum of information that I need to.
Thank you. So I do exactly what you do, very bare minimum. It sounds like, Dennis, you're okay with talking to them. So maybe we're on different sides of this. But let me tell folks right now. So this is a question about citizenship status now that the left is going crazy today now. And it will be included in the 2020 census that the Trump administration wants to have this. And what they're saying is now, they're saying it will be to enforce the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act, okay? So the feds are saying that, they're saying they need this information. But guess what? A state that you two know pretty well, California, they sued immediately to block the move, arguing that it would discourage immigrants from participating. So what do you think? Jennifer, let me ask you that question first. Do you think, I mean, let's stay on that a moment. Do you think it will discourage immigrants from participating? Is there any real truth to that argument?
I would hope it would discourage them from answering, but not because I don't want people counted, but because... if I was breaking the law, I wouldn't want to answer a question admitting that I was breaking the law, but they might think differently than I do. So I do think that there is the fear of that, of them not answering, but I think it brings a bigger point of what are they going to try to get benefits from the government for that, from what everything that our attorney general is saying. A lot of their issue is they want to make sure they have this population because it equals federal dollars.
Exactly.
I don't think that it's about them caring about these people as individuals. I think it's about them.
Well, that's been proven already. That's been proven they don't care at all. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they would have moved on DACA already if they truly cared about these people, Jennifer, which was the whole conversation up front. They obviously don't give a rat's ass. I mean, that's not the point here. To them, it's not the point, but it is the point to most of us who understand what we're talking about here. You know,
and they also want these illegals to make up for the people that have left California, the middle class people that have left California. Mm-hmm. We could end up losing a congressional seat, and they're going to try to blame it on the census thing when it's more about all the people that have left the state. And, you know, I'm okay with us losing a seat. I'd like to put in a name for them. Like, maybe we can take away Maxine Waters. Just a suggestion.
You're being just very insensitive, Dennis. She's being
Ted Lieu. Ted Lieu would be a good one.
Yeah. You're talking about my congresswoman.
Your congresswoman. He's offended, Jennifer. He's offended.
Boy, okay, we'll take Ted Lieu then.
But hold on, Maxine. Jennifer, no, with all due respect, regardless if it's Dennis, congresswoman or not, she is a lunatic, is she not? I mean, is she certifiable or what?
I think so. The last couple performances I've watched of hers, I call them performances and not speeches.
Yeah.
Her and Nancy Pelosi are just right up there going, you know, are you sure you don't need a mental status exam?
Well, Nancy's
not hitting there.
Nancy's losing her marbles, basically. Nancy Pelosi, she's definitely losing. I mean, her wires are not quite connecting. But I don't think Maxine ever had wires. You understand? There's a difference. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's that or if it's an act. Because she surely benefited off of her participation in government.
Okay.
And she is entertaining.
She's entertaining.
Adam Schiff instead.
That's a great point. And she's making a ton of money. She's ultimately very, very wealthy. She lives in a place with high walls and security with people with guns, right? And yet,
outside her district.
Outside, yes.
Oh, that's hilarious. Outside the district too, Dennis. Wow.
She doesn't live here.
How is that? How do they vote this woman in? Who's voting for her? Oh, the illegals are voting for her, obviously. Is that the concept?
No, it's gerrymandering, which is a whole that would take several hours of radio.
Well, give me 30 seconds and explain to people what you mean by that.
The state of California is cut up into districts. The districts are negotiated by a committee that declares the districts. And in the last episode of doing this, they created districts that essentially create permanent fiefdoms for Democrats and Republicans in different parts of the state.
Right.
And Los Angeles County is basically a Democrat kingdom at this point.
When you talk about the redrawn of the district lines, which you both mentioned, actually they're saying that they're worried that if this question is put on there and people are really spooked and don't answer it, they're thinking, Jennifer, they could lose maybe even up to 4 or 5 seats. How do you like that?
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a problem, they're saying. Do you see that, Dennis? Do you see what they're scared of here? Why that question is freaking them out?
I think Sacramento is scared of it because they are playing games. But I will say this. I am a first-generation immigrant to this country.
Right.
And I've had to fill out census
right. When
I had a green card. And I'll say this to Sacramento. Do you really think immigrants are that stupid? We know what's going on, and we care about this place. We care about more about this place than Sacramento does. You know, we'll answer the questions because it's important that the United States of America have accurate information to know what to do with this country.
You bring up an interesting point and you make me think. And I'm wondering, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, but I'm wondering, Jennifer, Dennis, if this whole immigration fight that California has burning so hot right now, I'm wondering, just possibly, potentially, maybe it backfires? Maybe it backfires and it kicks them in the ass a little bit? Is that possible? When you look at all of this happening, I mean, they're really going down a road here. There's this conversation about, you know, they want to secede the nation. I mean, it was kind of a funny joke, you know, like a cocktail party joke a couple of years ago, Jennifer, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. It was really a funny joke. But there's a lot of conversation about that now flying around, isn't there?
There is. And there's also all the other states wanting to just kick us out.
Well, listen, I'm not trying to be a funny guy here. I have to admit to you, Jennifer, I know you live on the West Coast there, but there was one show I did say, if they continue to give us a hard time, we're going to build a wall on the southern border, and then we're going to take it on the east coast of California and come right up the continental U.S. I admit, Jennifer, I apologize to you as a Californian, but as an American, you're right. Some of us are just a little fed up, yeah?
I'd come in a little closer and go to San Andreas Fault, to tell you the truth.
Well, I think if that happens, if let's say there is, God forbid, an earthquake out there, you know, what comes to my mind, as much as I have so many friends out there and I love the state and pray that that never does happen, but I have said before that if that crack happens, maybe that's where we divide the state when we talk about the state. Well, that's not really a nice thing to say, but we give the liberal left the further out part that might fall into the ocean. You've heard that before. I know I'm not talking nice right now, so you'll forgive me, Jennifer and Dennis, I hope. But I mean, it doesn't. It does. I know, and I'm apologizing as I'm kicking you both in the backside. So I really do need to, you know, just step back a minute here, and say that.
Oh, no, I'll step back. I'll give you the California locals joke. You know, the conservative California locals joke.
I'm sorry, bud.
Every year you need to go to the San Andreas Fault with a hammer and hit it, because sooner or later somebody's going to snap that thing. It's going to throw San Francisco 3 miles out to the ocean. We're going to declare them a separate country and not give them visas. That's California.
Yeah, I hear you. You know what else I want to say to you, brother, on that point? I know we're being really sarcastic here, but I will say this to you. The sad part about it is this. You know, they say that it's a matter of time before something happens in the way where we're talking about what California, the West Coast, is known for when we talk about these earthquakes. And I don't want to spook anything here, but you know what's sad about all this? Here, California right now is running so far in the red. They're giving the rest of the country a hard time. They're certainly giving the feds a run for their money. God forbid something happens on the calamity of what we're speaking about right now. You realize the help that California's going to need? And do you realize the money they're going to need from the feds, from the rest of the country? Do you see where I'm at?
Oh, yeah. But that's not the worst one on the West Coast. You know, California earthquakes are not going to be the worst earthquake disaster that you're going to see on the West Coast of the United States.
Where's that going to be?
The Cascadian Fault. On the coast of Oregon and Washington.
There is a bad one possibly, up there.
It is estimated that if it pops, it could send water miles inland and wipe out Seattle, Portland, places like that.
Boy,
it's huge.
Hell of a way to open up the news
We live with that here.
Hell of a way to open up the news.
Well, we already had with the wildfires last year, we already heard people from the other states complaining about any money going to California. I live in Ventura County.
See?
And half of our county was on fire in December.
Wow.
And people were complaining about that. And now we have the massive mudslides. We already hear it.
So I'm just saying. So thanks for saying that, Jennifer. That's been on my mind, actually, because, and I'm just wondering what I'm trying to say here. Isn't it time that you know, good people come to the table and really talk about these things? Isn't it time to really stop the games and bring everything? I mean, come on, people. You know, what is this? I mean, get people together. Aren't they all, I mean, at the end of the day, doesn't being American trump all this stuff? Oh, I used the word Trump again. Forgive me. God, I got to keep using that word in that way, Dennis. My golly.
It does. It does. And you know what? Those conversations happen here. You just don't hear about them because nobody in the media wants to let the fact that people anywhere in the United States tend to be a lot more reasonable than the internet makes them out to be.
Maybe. I know we got a shift going on here right now. There's a big shift happening. It's not a good shift, but it's a shift. And this fighting and arguing with the feds and the Trump administration in California seems to be taking a very high seat in this realm. Anyways, we got to move on from here. But listen, top of the news here, friends. And there's beyond the census fight of that question, there's also the sanctuary state problem, the anti-sanctuary state, maybe. Orange County, they're looking at potentially the whole county now, maybe. Los Alamitos was the first one to say, hey, wait a minute. We're not going to, this state law is unconstitutional, number one, amongst a bunch of other things. The whole thing, I want to talk about this in the next segment. We're going to get into this since we have Jennifer and Dennis here. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Also, other big news today, there are rumors, and you know when rumors happen, people, like the rumors I'm going to give you right now, that sometimes they come true. Well, there are rumors that Paul Ryan may be resigning from the U.S. House as Speaker. Now, he may be resigned. And that that's not today or tomorrow, but there's talk within the next 30 to 60 days. Of course, he right away is denying it, but isn't that always what they do before they, you know, they don't shut the lights off before they leave, you know? There's even talk that Steve Scalise may replace him. That's kind of an interesting story. Also, we have a clown running for Congress. I'm not making that up at all. That is real. I know you you think they're a bunch of clowns? Well, now there may be a real clown in Congress. That's right. There's a whole bunch of that happening. John McCain is ready to deliver a no-holds-barred verdict on his fellow Republican Donald Trump. I think that's before he passes away to ashes here. He is very, very ill, and I think he has lost his mind, quite frankly. He has a book coming out, and this book is going to be a real wingdinger, is what I understand here. There's a lot more news happening, friends, here. Let's take a moment here on Nozzle and introduce you to folks here. On the show today, Dennis Santiago. Dennis, please take 15 seconds and tell folks a bit about yourself.
Dennis Santiago, I am a
troublemaker.
I am a troublemaker. I am an instigator of thought, a specialist in global risk and policy, and all around patriot American.
That he is, and he's doing a lot of work and heavy lifting over with us here at America Out Loud here. And so good to have Jennifer here. Jennifer, please, you take, well, we'll give you, we gave him 15, we got to give you more. We'll give you 16 seconds. How's that? Jennifer Van Laar, yes?
Thank you. Don't I only get 78% of what he gets?
Normally that's the case, but I'm going to give you a second more. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm a writer with Red State, and I'm also a communications and marketing expert. I work with nonprofits and different political candidates and causes on how to market their positions to people so that they're easily understandable.
Yeah. But I guess we would call you also a political activist, more or less, right? And you're working with Fight Sanctuary State, right?
I am. And then I also specialize in Second Amendment and national security issues.
Man, impressive. Impressive. I'm looking forward to the chat just ahead here. More Nozzle in just a minute.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. And they do have someone in custody right now, by the way. But these packages are being sent to military complexes and government facilities. So, for instance, Fort McNair in D.C. has received a suspicious package. And from what we understand, we don't have all the facts of this, but black powder is being used here, GPS, a fuse. There are various components. I don't know how they're, you know, put together or not. There have been no explosions, but these went out to quite a few military facilities. Fort Belvoir, Joint Base in Anacostia, is there as well as a CIA mail processing facility, a White House mail processing facility, a Naval Air Station in Virginia, a whole bunch of places here. Dennis, this is, I think, first of all, it comes pretty close and pretty quick to the Austin bomber thing that got everybody's attention in a big way. There have been no injuries yet on this. There have been no explosions yet on this, but there have been a lot of packages, a lot of suspicious packages at all these facilities. What do you make of it?
This one's a bit more sophisticated than Austin. The person that they arrested overnight was a fellow by the name of Tran Kong Phan, in of all places, Everett, Washington, the Pacific Northwest of the United States. The packages contained not only combustible material, but apparently also a more sophisticated set of fusing mechanisms than what were found in Austin. So,
but nothing exactly went. But yet nothing went off, Dennis. Nothing happened. And
no, and the reason is because he sent them to government facilities, which government facilities at the packaging receiving point are right. secure transition points. So they have X-rays, they have chemical sniffers.
So you think they nipped it in the bud? You're saying that that's the reason, versus going to somebody's house and exploding, right?
Yes.
Or wow.
He sent them there specifically because he wanted to see whether or not anything would get through.
What I'm really surprised in, after this was such a big national story, and after what happened in Austin, that you're not seeing a lot more news about this. It's not the biggest item. You know what I mean? You find that?
Well, I think since he sent it to the CIA, mail processing was one of them, and other places, those institutions have a way of keeping things quiet while they're investigating them.
Interesting.
I think that's probably a big reason why.
That's an interesting point. Maybe that has something to do with it as well. So maybe it's, again, the destination of these packages where they went, and clearly nobody's been hurt or killed or injured yet that we know of, guys. So that would be a factor in this story as well, right? I mean, that would keep it more limited as far as coverage goes, I guess. And then again, Jennifer, Dennis, the media is too busy chasing Russia right now, so they'd have no time for these kinds of stories, right?
Russia, well, Stormy Daniels, whatever other...
Stormy Daniels. Any other, right, distractions they can use against the president, you think? What, Dennis?
And demonstrations in Washington, D.C. by children.
Yeah, they're using the kids as a pawn in a big, big way, in a sad way kind of thing, the way they're using the kids. You know, let's talk about that a moment here. Dennis, you bring that up. That is another really good news item here because, you know, these kids are being used as pawns in an adult game that they're trying to get what they want. And the reason we know this is because they're asking the kids... you know, just like basic questions about the Constitution and questions about, you know, the Second Amendment and questions about gun control and questions about just basic things. And the kids haven't a clue of what they're talking about. Now, that's a bit suspect, don't you think, guys?
It is. I think that these children's hearts are in the right place and they're being set up to be so disappointed. Look at the Sunday shows. I mean, so they got themselves together and went out on this big demonstration. And what did the Sunday television guys say? They all universally said, the guys that took the pictures of the demonstration said these things were not nearly as big as the people that organized them said they were. Mm-hmm. So as news commentators, we're not really sure that gun control is going to be a major issue come the midterm based on this kind of turnout. And, you know, yeah, way to dash the hopes of children, man. You know, right off the bat, instead of saying, you know, well, let's at least not hurt these kids anymore. It doesn't mean that the read isn't true, that in the end, when the adults get together, it's going to be a very different turnout. But somebody has to explain it to these kids instead of getting their hopes up for something that's not going to happen.
It's a very good point. And here's what's happening. You're very right, Jennifer, to Dennis's point here. What's happening is the kids are heavily invested in this. So let's explain. They're not just invested. They're emotionally invested into this thing. You understand? Your friends were blown away. I mean, you had a massacre there. I mean, lives were destroyed. Families were destroyed. And yet they're using them in a monopoly. They're making like a monopoly game here, Jennifer.
It's very sad that they have no compassion for what these kids have been through. And the kids are also going to be disappointed. I wonder sometimes if they really think, oh, we just got together in someone's living room and put together this thing. And oh my gosh, it just organically took off. Well, it took off because of it fit into someone's narrative and they wanted to exploit that. If they tried to do that again years later on a different issue, it would not take off like that.
Yeah, that is.
They're going to be disappointed.
That is well said, because you're right. They're saying it's like, oh, it just happened. It's just having somebody living room. Now it's a big movement and the kids are going to get their way. And then you see the media pundits and you see the far left and the politicians, what they're up against. You know, I wonder at the end of the day, I mean, beyond the power that they seek, what is their ultimate motive? I mean, to ban guns, it's not, you're never going to be able to ban guns. The only thing you could optimistically try to do, Dennis, is you could try to ban guns from good law-abiding citizens. But you would never be able to ban guns from the planet, and you're not going to be able to ban them from criminals. I mean, we can't seem to make these people understand that criminals don't follow the laws to begin with. So whether you ban guns or bombs or F-150s or, you know, parachute, I mean, whatever you ban, they don't follow them. They'll go get them on the black market or do what they got to do to get it. You know, if you want to, you're going to do harm, you're going to do harm. So I don't know what the ultimate motive is of what they really want.
Political control.
I think that's it.
That's always the ultimate motive. You're talking about one group of people wanting to socially engineer America to their vision. There's nothing wrong with having a vision of what you think this country should be as a better place. But when you lose sight of the fact that you're sharing this country with a lot of other people who have different opinions from you, and you start seeing them as beneath you, that's the problem. And in the end, these kids are learning the hard way. And I think in the end, when they really, really see the disappointment from their dreams to the reality of how things work in America, we've just created another generation of pretty jaded citizens that are going to come of age and have a very dour opinion about how this country works. And the fact of the matter is, that's not how this country really is. If you just get past the politics and start talking to real people again, you'll find this is kind of a nice place. To tell you the truth, this is the best place on earth. I would not want to be a citizen of any other country on this planet, particularly not any of the places that, you know, all these people got. I mean, there's a reason people want to immigrate here no matter how they can get.
You know, when you say that, and you hear, Jennifer, just to make a point here, and I want to talk about the sanctuary state in Orange County, what's going on with Los Alamitos, but, you know, to make a point here, can you imagine, Jennifer, as a young lady yourself on the West Coast, you're politically active, you're smart, intelligent, you know what's going on out there. Can you imagine just for a moment if we in this country put our energy and efforts into being Americans first, into really bettering life for the people in this country? If that was our efforts for real, when I say efforts, like with our courts and our people and, you know, all of the energy that's put into all of this fighting and just the massive resources, and all of this back and forth, suing each other, you suck, you stink, I hate you, we want to, I mean, can you imagine how great this country would be?
I've thought about that quite a bit, and in politics, you tend to get jaded, and at different times, I've been on shows that liberals hosted, and surprisingly, we found that we agreed on a majority of issues.
There you go.
And so I try to look at it, where can we agree first and fix those things and then go to the other things? Jennifer, and then by the time we fix those things, we might agree on more. But on the kids, I had a thought on that. I don't know that the kids really have an end game. The kids from Parkland, they've just been through a huge trauma. And what they're looking at it is, I had this great high school life. Everything was great. And this event shattered their innocence, made them completely different people, and they're blaming it on this inanimate object instead of just that evil exists in the world and always has and always will. And it sucks that that's how they had to get initiated into adulthood, is by such a horrible incident.
Well, I don't disagree with you.
They're misplacing it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all that you say that. I don't disagree at all. I think you have a very valid point. Well, let's talk about this Los Alamitos. We've been reporting on this story. So this was the little tiny engine that could, I guess, more or less, this small community. And I understand it's not a very big community, Jennifer. I believe, if I remember right, just off the top, isn't it like 11,000, 12,000 or something? It's pretty small, isn't it, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's pretty small and quaint. And, you know, so they have voted to defy California's law. The mayor's been very outspoken in the media, the city council, so on and so forth, you know. And they have voted to defy the law. I mean, they say it, that it goes against the Constitution, against the feds, and they don't like the concept. Now, let me get a couple of thoughts out here. All right, so they come out here and they say, we cannot allow this to happen in Orange County. Now, this has gone on a bigger fight now to Orange County. And when I say Orange County, we're talking of, you know, Yorba Linda, Buena Park, Huntington Beach. We're talking about a lot of interesting places now in the county. And this is a very big county, Orange County is. And it's typically been one of the more, well, how do I say to you, friends, a little more conservative county by California standards, although that has changed a little bit in recent years. But it is a little bit more that way. It was in the Reagan days and the Nixon days and even more recent days than that. So they're saying we cannot allow this to happen in Orange County is what they're saying. And we need to protect our families and our homes here in the county. And that means bolstering our cooperation with federal immigration enforcement and stopping our county from becoming a sanctuary for criminal illegal immigrants. And get a load of this. Get a load of this. From January 1st this year to just March 19th, they had to release 172 criminals, inmates, criminals, back into the county illegally, into the community, because state law prohibited the authorities there in that county from notifying ICE. Now, when you say that, and you start, it's a head scratcher a moment when you say that. You think, well, why would they do that? Why would they want to release criminals back into the county? And how could that be good for citizens who live there? I mean, and why wouldn't every citizen get out in the street and start smacking these politicians around? Jennifer, I don't think people around the country really understand this fight, what it's about, but that's pretty sick, isn't it?
And that's exactly what it's about. And it is sick. And a part of the reason people don't understand it is because it's completely lied about in the media. I was just reading yesterday in a column in the LA Times about Kevin DeLeon, who's the chief architect of that bill, who's right, running against Dianne Feinstein. And it's saying, oh, he's taking heat for this sanctuary state bill, and he doesn't like to call it that. And it just tells the feds to do their own immigration thing. It doesn't prohibit anything and doesn't have any bad consequences. And I'm reading it going, are you serious? This is a man that covered politics for 50 years writing this chunk. In fact, at the Los Alamitos meeting, I was watching a Periscope video of someone who was out talking to the activists on the pro-sanctuary side. Mm-hmm. And he asked the man, well, don't you want the criminals to be apprehended? And the guy said, yeah, I want criminals to be apprehended. That's not what this bill does. And that's exactly what it does. In fact, in Orange County, there was a little girl mowed down by a twice deported repeat offender drunk driver in mid-February. 6 years old, playing in her yard. The dude had 20.24 alcohol, blood alcohol, at 2 in the afternoon on a Saturday. Drives, you know, loses control, goes up onto the sidewalk, into her yard, mows her down in front of her little cousin.
This man,
if he had been arrested for the drunk driving,
right,
had been one of those people, he would have been already back out on the streets. Thank God he's still in jail right now.
The stories are horrific.
He's been charged with second degree murder with this little girl's death.
Yeah, the stories are horrific.
And that's in Orange County.
Yeah,
I think that's a big reason why they're doing this.
Well, the supervisor, Orange County supervisor, comes out and says these state laws are preempted by federal law. Our officers actually face penalties under state law if they so much as talk to federal agents for the wrong thing. That's just unacceptable, they say, and it's contrary to federal law anyways. So this is going to be a fight now, Dennis. And what do you think, Dennis? Take a minute and opine on Orange County. Do you think they prevail here?
I hope that Orange County prevails. I grew up in Orange County. I'm an old Fountain Valley boy, and that's my home world, you know.
Wow.
This is you're talking to a kid that went to junior senior prom at Disneyland, at the Disneyland Hotel. This is not what I want the place that I call home to be. And I'll tell you one more thing. Kevin DeLeon, okay? Mm-hmm. you don't hear about this a lot, but when this whole thing started and when this AB 54 thing about not cooperating with the feds was going down, Kevin De Leon was interviewed, I forget on what, but ultimately, do you know why he's doing it?
No.
Because half of his relatives are illegal.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
It's a personal thing with
him. Well, it's got to be a motive. I mean,
yeah, he's the president pro tem of the California State Senate.
Then do something about it.
Drive the whole thing.
Well, tell him to make him do something. Get him legal. Do what you got to do. Come in right. Do something. I mean, you know, it's amazing how they you know, like you say, how they're taking their personal agendas and their family things. And what you just said makes sense, actually. That would, because you kind of question after a little bit, like, not only like what's the motive, but like, the driving force behind this, the passion. I'm looking even beyond motive. What I'm saying is there seems to be a lot of passion about this conversation. And then when you consider the millions of people out there that are really voting illegally, and then you consider that the district lines would have to be redrawn, and then you consider where the power is and where California is politically speaking, and how badly and how disorganized the Republicans are out there.
Well, when you cannot explain why things are happening with logic, reason, and law, then you have to look for irrational reasons why things are happening. And when you do, you start to find them. The question now is what to do about it. These people are manipulating states for personal gain.
That's a good way to say it.
It's not financial gain, but it's still personal gain. Is that really something that you want for one of the largest economic contributors to the U.S. economy? I don't.
Right. Well, I mean, it's been years since I've been in Union Square, but I got to tell you, from reports that I hear now, it's not a place you want to visit anymore.
It's not.
That's pretty
it's
sad.
It's not. Downtown San Francisco smells like pee 24/7. It's a disgusting place. And I'll get back to a little bit on this, you know, immigration thing, okay? Now, the economies of the southwestern United States have always had a flow of people back and forth across borders for economic reasons. Mm-hmm. What's changed is that, and for economic reasons, you know, there have been programs going all the way back to the beginning of the 20th century that allow people to come here, do their work, go home, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. What's changed in places like California is that there are now people that are here that are trying to say they are citizens as opposed to workers. And that change in the definition of who they are has thrown the entire place into turmoil.
Let me say also on this story before we leave it, Jennifer, that somebody you work with at Fight Sanctuary State, I want to give a shout out to them, fightsanctuarystate.com, Agnes Gibney, I believe. She lost her son. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Her son was murdered by a previously deported gang member.
Yeah. And that's about as sad as it gets. And now she is on the front lines trying to turn the tide on this story, right?
Yes. In fact, the Fight Sanctuary State group is preparing to file in the next couple of days a proposed constitutional amendment for mm-hmm. California mm-hmm. that would repeal the sanctuary state laws, but also make it illegal for any similar laws to be enacted in the future. Because as we've seen, and Dennis and I both have an interest in the Second Amendment, things that happen in California, mm-hmm. they with guns, they've just, if one law doesn't work out right, then they just go back to the drawing board and do it a little different. And they just keep coming at it over and over and over again. So even if these counties, even if Trump's lawsuit mm-hmm. goes through, right. even if the counties opt out, right. they're just going to come back with something different next year. We have to stop them.
Well, and the reason for that is, Dennis pointed out moments ago, because of the passion, because some of the politicians that are corrupt and crooked in this thing and their families, there's got to be some personal interest in there and the passion behind that, which has got to be a driving force into why these things are happening when you think about it. All of that said, this story's not going to go away, clearly, as Jennifer just said. It's going to continue on. And again, as I just say, I digress, Your Honor, I digress. When I said a moment ago, listen, if this, all that energy was put into something worthwhile, I got to tell you, it would It would change. It would mean everything. It would change. It would improve life. It would. You'd be able to handle a lot of these things. You'd be able to deal with the infrastructure problems. You'd be able to deal with the homeless problems. You'd be able to deal with all of these things, and more jobs for people, and more quality life. And then we'd vote the right people into office, and then you improve everything. And I just say, everybody should question that. Everybody should question that. More Nozzle in just a moment, friends. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been hospitalized for high fever. And we don't know a lot about this at this point, but he's been hospitalized and high fever and a severe cough. I don't know if that's like pneumonia or what it is exactly, but his personal physician, Dr. Berkowitz, came out and said that the prime minister did not complete the period of rest required for recovery from an illness that he suffered from 2 weeks ago. Isn't that the case for people that work and push hard? And he's paying the price for that now by being admitted to the hospital. So we wish him well, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu from Israel, that is here. So, all right. Also, I want to move the agenda along to talk about this thing running around today. Well, three stories actually that involve Washington. The first one is Paul Ryan, that he may resign as U.S. House Speaker, and I can hear the champagne bottles opening up already. I can see that conservatives would be toasting to that salute right away because he's not real well liked in conservative circles, let's say. In fact, if he would retire or resign or whatever you want to call it and take Mitch McConnell with him, I bet you we could probably get an award for the two of them of some sort. Dennis, what do you think?
Well, he denies it.
So
it was a GOP rumor that got circulated. Now he's come out and he said he denies that rumor.
I don't believe him. Do you believe him?
Do you believe anything, either the rumor or the counter rumor in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, well, I think that my guess is I think Paul Ryan wants out. I don't think he knows. If you look at his body language, have you ever studied his body language and studied him and how he, you know, he'll take one. I mean, he's about as much of a fair weather friend that you would ever really not want in your company. I support the president,
He does not support anything.
As soon as the wind blows anyway.
He's a never Trumper.
He's a never Trumper.
He's been a never Trumper. You know, Trump's got two enemies in the swamp. Yeah. One on the left, one on the right.
That's right.
And Ryan's part of that never Trump coalition that's trying to preserve the establishment.
The long-term, they believe
that these White Houses come and go and they'll still be around. And you know what? That's being challenged. He's having a hard time holding that coalition together because, geez, you look around and like the White House's agenda it's actually succeeding domestically and internationally.
And they don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, neither side knows what to do with it because what are the bargaining points you have to retain power, which is
pretty weird.
Basically, it's based on getting nothing done. You know, these are people that have become addicted to gridlock. And
Well, they make themselves important. They make themselves feel important. They want to be important, and that's what gridlock does. Then, you know, they make the problem so you can fight the problems. You understand how that works, you know? you make the problem bigger, then you have to fight the problem. Jennifer, do you have any sense of feeling? First of all, do you like Paul Ryan as a speaker, as a house? Do you think he's doing a good job?
No.
Okay,
no.
Great. All right. You don't like him. Do you think that... Now, listen, I'm sure you've watched the dude. You've seen his body. You hear these reports. Answer me honestly. Do you think that... Is there any part of you that says that he kind of probably, maybe, you think, potentially, wants out?
Yeah, I think he wants out because he knows this. It's not going well for his career. There are already quite a few conservatives that did not like him before Trump was ever elected because he was already an ineffective speaker then. And it's just not going anywhere good for him.
It's not good. That's a decent, honest answer you put out there. There was talk that he wasn't happy because the president came out and, you know, talked to Russian President Vladimir Putin, which, of course, we all know today you can't drink Russian vodka, you can't eat Russian soup, you can't even date a Russian model. I mean, if it's got Russia attached to it, it is like the virus, like having the plague of some sort. We know that that's just the way it is. And so he came out and he wasn't happy that the president did that. But yet, you know, this is what we do. You know, what gets me about that story, you all, is that, you know, it's like we don't pick the heads of these countries. We don't pick dictators. We don't pick heads of state. That's not our role. We can't be in the nation building mode. We can't be in the mode to get all these people. You know, that's just not the way it works. And so, you know, Putin is Putin. We know what he is, but, you know, it's better to get some, you know, the old saying, Dennis, when, you know, I just grew up in the principle of Sun Tzu, the art of war. And it was, again, it's always been keep your enemies close by.
Vladimir Putin is the product of Russia. He is the product of Russian culture. He's the product of Russian government. He is the product of the way they do things in that country, which is based on centralized power, cooperating with oligarchies that are in turn enabling non-state actors to go do things in the world in their interests. They have a very high emphasis on the informational stability of their world. And, you know, and Putin didn't think this stuff up. Mm-hmm. He's like this because that is Russia. And when we deal with them going, and it just so happens that the way that thought philosophy goes grates on the American consciousness, which is based on a lot of freedom, a lot of a lot of discord, a lot of exploring, a lot of poking people in the eye. We do that here. This is not the kind of thing that Russian culture puts up with very much. And when you bring those two things together, you know, it causes fights. In World War II, it almost caused us to continue World War II after defeating the Germans. And that goes on today. The problem that most people have that say, you know, don't talk to the guy, is that they don't understand he's just being Russian. Trump understands that he's just being Russian. It doesn't mean that he agrees with him, but he understands how to work with people.
But you've got to have a dialogue with these people. Yeah, I mean, that's the point. Yeah, I mean, you've got to talk to these people. And so the fact that, you know, presidents call these heads of state to, you know, after an election is pretty normal procedure. It's diplomacy. It's diplomacy. It's a very simple diplomacy. Doesn't mean he's in your fan club. Doesn't mean you're going to invite him to your cocktail party at Christmas, potentially. But he is in your, you know, that's the way that kind of works. But anyways, we'll see, you know, again, at some point again, it's going to be in vogue again to have Russian vodka and eat Russian soup or date a Russian model. I think that will come back again someday, Jennifer and Dennis, in our lifetime even. I'm predicting that right now, by the way.
Within my circles, it's never left vogue.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's never left vogue would be either. I mean, you know, look at the guy's problems.
I like
His security apparatus is now, you know, they went too far. Now they've got diplomats being thrown out. Well, they're not really diplomats, but they are spies. Yeah. But they're being thrown out left and right all over the place because they overplayed their hand. This is classic Russian bull in a china shop type behavior. And you know what? This is who they are. They do these kinds of things.
I think we would have made a lot more progress with this guy, with Putin, as we say, if they wouldn't have made such a circus out of this thing. But clearly, they've made it like it's untouchable right now, that you can't even have dialogue with the country anymore. So, you know, it's pretty sad, actually, is all I'm saying. Well, listen, there's a guy running for Congress, and this is not a joke. He is a clown. He's a clown, a real clown. He wears his red nose with pride, and Stephen Lau. That's how I pronounce it. How do you pronounce that? L-O-U-G-H, Dennis. Lau?
Could be Lau or Low.
Low, yeah. So Stephen Lau, Low, whatever it is, he's a clown. This is what he does, okay? And he is literally very serious about this. Now, he was a professional clown at the Ringling Brothers Barnum Bailey Circus, which, of course, we know is really not a circus anymore. They've kind of left town on a permanent basis. And so they're reporting that he wants to reform gun laws and provide universal access to health care. He volunteered for the campaigns of Barack Obama and Bernie Sanders. And it's so his website is clownforcongress.com, and his slogan is aim high, vote low. So it must be low, because it's aim high, vote low. L-O-U. There you go. That's a great tagline. I like that. He's creative, Dennis. Nothing wrong with that, right?
I love it. You know,
aim high, vote low.
That's great. You could have a clown. And
I like
you got Frederica Wilson with the cowboy hats.
I like
it. It's like having a rodeo.
It's a rodeo right there.
I'm in.
Add your friend from the north part of California there that Jennifer was talking about earlier, and you got a whole circus going on there. All right. Also, John McCain, I mentioned earlier. So this is Senator McCain here. He's ready to deliver a no-holds-barred verdict on Donald Trump's presidency in a new book of memoirs. And this book is real. I mean, Simon and Schuster here is this is I think it's a pretty big firm. I believe I've read that somewhere. I can't see it right here in front of me here, but I believe that's the firm that's publishing this book. And it's going to be, let's see, the name. Oh, get a load of the name of this, guys. The Restless Wave. And this is this is going to be kind of a tell-all book. He's going to go after the Trump administration and so on and so forth. You know, doesn't have too much longer left, as I understand. It's pretty ill. This brain cancer he's got is pretty serious stuff, you know, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
For Senator John McCain, I have a great deal of respect for John McCain, the pilot.
Okay.
He's an old man. Let him speak. He's dying. Just let him speak.
I see.
Okay. What happens afterwards, you know, the country will go on, but he's earned a right to have his last words.
I see. All right. Well, that's very well said as a gentleman. I understand what you're saying. I, on the other hand, wish his family would sit him down and talk to him and tell him to shut the hell up is what I wish, Jennifer, you know?
Well, I mean, I agree with both of you there. I agree with Dennis that he's earned the right to say whatever he wants, and then people can take it however they want it. As a daughter who almost exactly a year ago to the day lost my dad to cancer after a very brief battle, I know that all I wanted that last 2 weeks of his life was us to have time with him. So I would hope that his family would just say, just spend time with us. Don't worry about this other stuff. The world.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Why the family doesn't take him aside and talk to them. That's what I'm wondering. Why there isn't a conversation. Why Megan just say, Dad, what are you doing here? I mean, it's not necessary to be picking this fight up. I mean, he had a chance. He ran for president. He didn't win. So he never got to be president. I mean, he's been a lot of other things. He's kind of, you know, the system. And the other problem with John McCain I have is that when he's running for campaign, he's all these conservative values he has up there. He's like the greatest conservative ever. I mean, Obamacare, everything stinks, your guns are safe, Second Amendment's cool, everything's happy. And then he gets in office and he doesn't vote a damn way of what he ran on. I mean, it's pretty sad. So in that case, I wish his family would get to him and say, hey, listen, let's chill here, you know. All right, listen, hashtag trending this afternoon, hashtag I lie because. Now listen to this, I lie, have you, so why do you lie? Everybody tells lies. Dennis, you tell lies. Jennifer, you tell lies. Everybody tells lies. I mean, sometimes they're little white lies, sometimes they're bigger lies. So that's trending today as well. Hashtag I lie because. Kristen says, I lie because I don't want to tell you that you look fat in those jeans. Now, have you ever told a lie like that, Jennifer? Sure you have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because right? Well, we don't want people to feel bad. Then Dale says, hashtag I lie because the truth almost never sets you free. Interesting. Katsy says, I lie because my life isn't very interesting. Jackie says, I lie because y'all don't need to know how much I really drink. Is that one of your friends, Dennis?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Well, Shay says, I lie because that's what we do. And they've got a picture of Ted Cruz up there. So you can see where that one's going again, you know. And listen to this one, my favorite one. Just Kristen says, hashtag, I lie because my parents lied to me about Santa and the Easter Bunny. Do you see the lesson in that, guys?
That's a deep-seated issue she's got going on.
Yeah, a deep-seated issue. We should not. Well, there's a point to this, because we talked a while back, Jennifer, about that. We should never be lying to the kids about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. That's all I'm saying. At some point, we got to tell them the truth. Probably they should know when they're 2 or 3 years old, maybe. I don't know. Something like that, maybe. But anyways, listen, this is
They're not real?
They're not real. I know, Dennis, you're just waking up now to the reality of what's going on here. Well, listen, there is, I mean, there's a lot more I wanted to talk to you about, but there is no time. Let's nozzle this thing forward here. Dennis, take 15 seconds. Give us your prediction, please. We'll start with you.
Trade agreements are going to settle themselves back out very nicely for the United States.
Looks like that's happening.
And as part of that, I predict that Vladimir Putin will, somewhere before the end of the year, make peace with the people he is currently fighting with.
Which is the world, everybody in the world.
And in order to get there, he has to figure out how to fight with his people within. And that's going to take him some time.
Yeah. Jennifer, what's your prediction?
Okay. Well, I'm going to predict that Loyola will win the Final Four and be the lowest ranked seed to ever do that, I think.
All right. Let me give my prediction as well. My two predictions. The first one is that I do believe Paul Ryan's days are numbered. I don't know how many days, whether it's 30 days, 60 days, or 72 days, or maybe 12 days, but I do think his days are numbered. I think he's not effective as a speaker, and I think he realizes and recognizes that. And quite frankly, I don't think any of them know how to handle the Trump doctrine. I don't think they know how to handle this. And so let's hope that it's, like you said, let's hope it's a 2-for-1 deal and he takes McConnell with him. My The Prediction, friends, is we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Nozzle off.